What is up, and welcome back to another episode of Blood and Beer, the show where we talk blood sport and we drink beer. I'm your host, Matt. As always, MMA to talk. We got some beer to drink, but we don't have beer to drink today. We were drinking beer last night on the watch party. Thank you to all. Stop by, join the chat. I appreciate each and every one of you. Hell of a time. Kind of a rough night watching fights up until the end. Started off real rough with the, getting ahead of myself. We're coming off Corey Sandhagen versus Davison Figueiredo in the main event. Sandhagen steamrolls Figueiredo. We're going to break down that fight. We got a new contender at middleweight. We got two more undefeated fighters dropping their O's, which means the curse is still alive. They are currently 13-23 in the year of our Lord, 2025, undefeated fighters. So, with that being said, we're going to get into fight talk. We got fights to talk about. Cody lost all 1,000 on his bets. I lost 522. Not a great week. Not a great week betting. Not a great week at all. We're gonna make it all back and then some next week. We're still positive year to date. I'm up about 1,800. Cody himself, he's up 3,200. So we're still kicking butt, taking names. You know how we do it here on the Blood and Beer YouTube channel. And we're recapping UFC Des Moines today. Corey Sandhagen, like I said, he steamrolls Davison Figueiredo. Just Figueiredo, weird game plan, goes in going for leg locks the entire time. No other offense, threw one strike in the first round. And then Corey just beats the shit out of him on top. They get in a 50-50 position. Corey rolls through, pops Figgy's knee out of place. Figgy taps, TKO due to injury for Corey Sandhagen. But the awesome thing about this was afterwards in the interview, Bisping said, kind of unfortunate to see it end that way, and instead of being like, yeah, you know, I hope he gets better, whatever, Corey goes, it's not unfortunate, it happened because I'm better than him in the 50-50, so if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to pop your knee, and that's what I did, I'm better than him, it's not unfortunate. Badass, love that he owned it, love that he's like, no, I caused that injury, this was all part of the plan, I did my thing. Corey Sandhagen continuing to make moves towards the title, but he's not quite there yet. If Sean O'Malley wins against Merab, don't do a trilogy after 316. You just do Sean versus Corey. We've been waiting for it for years. And if Sean O'Malley loses, you give Sean versus Corey also, because it's just the fight everybody wants. Two tall, long bantamweights that are just going to put on a fun fight. Everybody's been wanting this fight forever. Starting to run out of time on it, though. Corey's 33. If they go down different paths again, they kind of hit a fork in the road and they're not in each other's bracket one more time, we're probably not going to get it. Or if we do, we won't get it when they're both in their primes. It'll probably be Sean getting Corey on his way down, because once you're 34, 35 at bantamweight, it all seems to start to go. It's crazy to see Corey kind of age out of the division. But this year has also been kind of a turning back the clock for these older fighters. You know, we got to see D-Rod, even though him and Ponzinibbio were the same age. D-Rod got the win. Who else? Ah, shit. There was a couple older fighters that got the wins this week. Not Davison Figueiredo, though. And all year it's been happening, so. But that's the main event. Corey Sandhagen doing the damn thing. Give him Sean O'Malley next. There's nothing else for him. Nothing else. And then we had RDR, Bo Nickel. RDR does the damn thing, derails the hype train, gets the TKO in round two, wins the first round. Bo got a takedown about halfway through the first round, and everyone, I think it kind of made all the bettors, including me and Cody, because Bo was our ladder bet. We're like, okay, Bo's on top. Nope, RDR sweeps him, gets on top, lands some ground and pound, has a good bit of control time. Then RDR won the first round. They go out the second round. RDR hurts him to the body. You can tell Bo just doesn't like getting hit. RDR recognizes that and just starts spamming body shots, spamming knees. Hits Bo with a knee to the liver, drops him. TKO victory. Should have been a KO due to body shots, because RDR didn't need to pull it off. It was a walk-off knockout. And for RDR, I've been saying it about the dude for years. Been saying it for years. This guy is legit. He doesn't look legit out there. He looks all goofy, lanky, dangly, unorthodox, kind of like Adrikus Duplessis. Different style than Adrikus. They have a different style, these guys. But clunky, awkward, not your traditional technical striker. He just looks awkward out there. But dude's a beast. His only two losses are to Timothy I can't even say his name, over in one, a guy that's a heavyweight, dropped down to 205, and then RDR went up to heavyweight to fight him. So, dude's a beast. Give him top 10 next in the middleweight. I think he's a contender. Him versus Dricus, funniest fight ever. It's going to be awkward, sloppy, just two dudes running into each other. Car crash the whole time. But, yeah, dude's no joke. Bo Nickel, overhyped. Killed our ladder bet. We bet on him because he's American. We thought, we'll go with the American. We're in Iowa, dead center of the country. Let's go, USA. US, no. What the F, Bo Nickel? So, Bo kills our ladder and his hype. I got this bad feeling going into the fight. The more and more I thought about it, I'm like, RDR has bad striking defense. But Bo has bad striking and bad fighter instincts. Great wrestler, but not a great MMA fighter. So, Bo does the damn thing, loses his O. Undefeated fighter curse is a real fucking thing. These prospects are not ready for the UFC. People are getting moved up too fast because there was a generation in MMA that held on so long that they were able to phase out one group of prospects that have now aged themselves out. Now they're fighting these new prospects coming in that got rushed up, didn't get to go through the ringer, and bad look. Bad look for Bo Nickel. Bad look for these prospects. You look at guys like Peyton Talbot, Austin Bosch, what is it, Boshi, and now Bo Nickel, all losing their O's. And then in the featured fight of the night, Daniel Rodriguez gets a round three TKO of Ponzinibbio. Fun fight until it wasn't. Six punch combination by Daniel Rodriguez to get the KO. And then Ponzinibbio, when he goes to get up, starts stumbling over, falling over, falls into the cage, protesting the stoppage, but great stoppage. It needed to be stopped. We might want to see Ponzinibbio kind of hang it up and retire at this point just because there's nothing left to prove. These fights aren't going to mean anything for you unless you're just trying to put on fun fights or just hang around until the UFC might go to Argentina so he can go back to his home country and fight. I don't know. But that was a fun little finish, fun little fight there. Fight means nothing. Aside from that, the main event, we had a good fight with Jeremy Stephens and Mason Jones. First two rounds, these guys are cracking each other. Jones is hitting spinning back kicks, head kicks, doing the whole thing. Much more technical, but when they get in the clinch, Jeremy Stephens is just ripping uppercuts. He's doing the BKFC thing, relentless in there. He's hurting Jones. He lost both the first and the second round, but they were close, and he was fighting. Made it a fun fight, just a back-and-forth slugfest. But Jones was starting to get hurt towards the end of the second. In the third, he knew what he needed to do. Goes out there, takes Stevens down, and just kind of wrestle-fucks him for the rest of the fight. So Mason Jones gets a unanimous decision victory, but keep Jeremy Stevens around, man. Let him fight just people coming in off the Contender Series. Give him the Jim Miller treatment before he started giving Jim Miller tougher fights again. Give him just guys that have never fought in the UFC that are going to just want to strike with him. Because these older dudes, the wrestling, the reflexes, they're just not there, but they can still crack. They can still swing. Some of them even still have chins on them. So I wanted to talk about that fight before the two fights that happened after it because they were just a whole lot of nothing. Montel Jackson, he outpoints Daniel Marcos. First two rounds of that fight sucked. Third round, Jackson starts putting it on Marcos a little bit, out-wrestles him, taking him down with ease, has good trips, but just really low output. Really boring fight. Jackson's a beast. He just doesn't fight enough. And I think we saw that here. A little bit of ring rust because he doesn't fight enough. So, he's top 15 right now. He's number 15. Hopefully he gets a top 10 guy next. But after that performance, they might not give it to him. The important thing for Jackson for me is I want to see him active. He's got to fight one or two more times before the end of the year. I mean, we're only in May. Give him a fight in July or August and then another fight in November or December. He needs to be more active. He can't just be fighting once a year every year because he's one of the top five bantamweights, I think. He didn't show it tonight, but he just doesn't fight enough to move up. And then Sari Seedy, he goes out there. He beats up on Cameron Smotherman. He outpoints him. He out-wrestles him. He does the damn thing. Smotherman's got the movement of a heavyweight. I mean, dude just out there swinging one and two punch combinations the whole fight. Cannot cut the ring off. CD's just circling around him. And it was a rough watch. That fight was a rough watch. It was not a good one. And there were a lot of rough watches on the prelims. We had the first two fights. Juliana Miller versus Ivana Petrovic. Bad fight. Bad fight. That fight sucked. Juliana Miller gets the unanimous decision. And then Thomas Peterson goes out and he gets a unanimous decision, just lays on Dontayle Mays and kind of ground and pounds him a little bit for the whole fight. It was a rough fight. But then Quang Lee and, oh fuck, who did Quang Lee fight? Goodness. Quang Lee, he fought, Gaston Bolaños, and he chokes him unconscious. First round of that fight sucked also. Quang Lee just kind of took the back and laid in ground control. And then in round two, he gets a rear naked choke. Ref did not stop it soon enough, and Bolaños was almost seizing from getting choked unconscious. So Quang Lee gets a performance bonus for that one. And then Jillian Robertson beats the shit out of Marina Rodriguez, gets a TKO in round two, calls for Amanda Lemos, great call out, girl's working her way up, she's a beast, working with Dean Thomas. That whole team with Sean Brady, Jillian Robertson, it's amazing. But gets a TKO, calls out Amanda Lemos, and then Marina Rodriguez gets a retirement send-off, gives a good retirement speech, whatever. Kind of a mid-career. She was close to the title at one point before getting knocked out by Amanda Lemos, but yeah, just... She did the damn thing. She was kind of a jobber towards the end, and good for her. She had a good career. Probably made a good bit of money. And then, finally, Azmat Bekoyev goes out there and does the damn thing, just like other guys did the damn thing. Puts Ryan Loader out in the first round, drops Loader early. Loader gets up after that and starts swinging, cracking Bekoyev, but Bekoyev's just moving forward. He's a tank. Dude can take punches, and he's just going to deliver. He's not very technical. He's not very athletic, but what he is strong. So he gets the TKO in round one after dropping Ryan Loader a second time and finishing him off. So fun-ish fight card. I give it a C on the on how it turned out. But when you compare it to boxing this weekend, did amazing. Boxing had three fights that were in the top five for lowest punches thrown in a 12-round fight, according to CompuBox. Devin Haney versus Barbosa, or whoever the hell he fought. Devin Haney, their fight had like 504 strikes. Ryan Garcia and Rolly Romero had 494. Rough fight to watch there. Rolly gets the upset. And then Canelo, William Scully, that fight sucked. Martin Bacoli, his fight sucked versus Ajogba. Just a rough night for boxing. The Times Square card didn't work out the way they thought it would. It didn't really look that cool. It made it seem like they were fighting in a place smaller than the Apex, which is really bizarre when you think about how big Times Square is. I was expecting it to be like New Year's Eve, you know, huge crowd, but it was really a very small crowd behind it. And then you'd hear a car horn every now and then, but nothing that made you feel like it was anything special. If you hear the rain, it's been pouring. It's been just raining cats and dogs, storming the past week here. April showers bring May flowers, my ass. It's been raining all May here in Ohio. But that's all we got for you today. Before I go, Ryan Bader signs with Ryzen. That's pretty cool news. Next week, UFC 315, Bilal Muhammad taking on JDM, Valentina Shevchenko versus Manon Fiorot. Natalia Silva, Alexa Grasso. It's a fun card that we got coming up, and we're gonna have a breakdown on Wednesday for you, like we always do. Me, Cody, and Noah, and yeah, the pay-per-view spectacular, as we call it, coming out this Wednesday. And that's all I got for you. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. I appreciate everybody that joined the live this week, and everybody that's tuned in, supported us over the years. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon if you want to get the audio version of this. And yeah, that's all I got for you. Thank you for tuning in to Blood and Beer.